This podcast may contain content that is not suitable for listeners under the age of 18. If you are 17 or younger and wish to educate yourself about sex and relationships, you should visit scarleteen.com. That's scarleteen with one T.
Hey, I'm Alicia, your non-monogamous relationship coach. Welcome to the podcast where my friends and I chat about our relationships, enthusiastic non-monogamy, polyamory, swinging, kink, and our lives. You'll get a candid peek into what makes it worth it to live life outside the box. And in case you're still wondering, nope, we're not monogamous. Megs, hi.
Hi.
I'm so stoked to talk to you because we've talked a lot in the past. Not a lot, but a bit in the past about this stuff. And
quite a bit, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so tell me this, first of all. Are you non-monogamous? Yeah. Polyamorous? What's your relation style? Ooh.
Yeah, good question. So I was non-monogamous for a year. And then after my divorce, I'm like, oh, I am polyamorous. So for the past 4 or 5 months, whatever November is, 6 months. I've just been like living my solo poly, divorcee, toddler parent, best life and exploring into the depth of polyamory. And for me, that really means knowing that I'll always be able to say yes to a love story that happens upon me for the rest of my life. And for me, that means deep, nurturing, intimate, fulfilling relationships with pals of all genders, some of whom I may fuck and some of whom I may bring flowers and some of whom I may cuddle with.
Yeah. I love that, like, freedom of, like, not just choice, but just like living in a way that feels like you're like the path that you need to follow rather than the path that's been laid out for you.
Ah, oh, yes. And like the path that was crushing me, the path that was given to me and entrained in me and like this concrete box that I lived in for so long. And just, I was like, this is fine. This is fine. This is fine. Everything's fine. I love this. This is great. And then I was like, I want to fall in love 100 more times in my life.
Oh, yes.
I just like knew that. And my darling ex-husband, who's one of my besties and a pal and maybe a future lover. I don't know. Who knows what the future has in store for us, but he and I opened up our marriage. And so I got to explore non-monogamy and he was open to doing that with me. So that allowed me to start fulfilling the desire I had for additional romantic relationships in my life and explore what that meant to have more. I've never dated more than a person in my life. And I never even really dated. I met my ex-husband when I was 22 or something like that. And I just had like summer boyfriends.
Yeah.
So I had never been like an adult exploring a romantic relationship with someone new either. And like, wow, what an expander, what an opportunity for growth, what an instant pot for communication and all the shit's going to come up, right? Like when your husband's on a date with someone and you like, they might fuck for the first time and that's the first time you're doing that and you've never seen any really successful versions of that anywhere and you're like, is this okay? Like all your shit's gonna come up and that can either like jealousy's gonna come up, hello, we were entrained to have it, like to think that we needed to own someone, to think that we needed to not have our person have another person or that would be a threat to us. But like if you want to explore non-monogamy or polyamory, it's just a part of that learning process. Like, I'm not going to tell you go through your life and anger is never going to come up again. Just, you know, we just deal with our feelings and we learn how to be adults and we talk about that shit. I feel like I'm rambling, which is my superpower, but I want to give you the chance to ask me any questions or provide feedback because I am just rolling.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. But I'm curious, it's funny because people think that jealousy is like this thing to be avoided, right?
Yes.
Like it's this big, bad, evil
Right.
Emotion, but like it's an emotion. And I see people say that they don't ever feel jealous. And I think, well, yeah, like there's also people who never feel happy, but that's not the normal thing.
And right. And non-monogamy doesn't mean that you're not jealous. I mean, monogamy doesn't mean that you're not jealous also, because people who are in monogamous relationships get jealous as fuck about their boyfriend looking at another person or whatever, right? Uh-huh, like it doesn't prevent it either.
Yeah, actually, that's something I've had clients come to me and say, like, I don't really feel jealousy in my relationship. And then they open up and it's not that they don't feel jealousy. It's that they weren't confronted with anything. They created a relationship that didn't activate their jealousy.
Wow.
Right. And then they open up and they're like, oh, actually, I'm super jealous. And I didn't even know this was in me. So I didn't even work on this before we got here.
Wow. Yeah. That's eye opening for me in this moment, because I'm like working through my jealousy, but like also realizing that I could have a lot hidden in there too.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
It's one of those, I say it all the time. It's becoming like really cliche, I feel like, for me, but you don't know what you don't know. You know? Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this was going to be a problem.
Right. I thought, oh, this was mine. I thought I had a happy childhood until I thought about my childhood.
Oh.
Because you don't know what you don't know, right? Yeah. Once you start getting that magnifying glass to like look at yourself, it's like, you just go digging and you just go finding and you keep finding and finding on new levels. And it's just this delicious human experience.
I love it. It's so good. Okay. So tell me this, like what prompted you and your ex-husband to open your relationship?
I feel like I manifested it. As I do everything, cause I'm a fucking manifesting pussy royal, which means I use sexual energy to manifest my desires through practices like sex magic and pleasure and daydreaming in delicious paranoia universes with Tom Hardy. And
I mean, if you're going to daydream a universe,
what the hell am I doing with my time if not hanging out with Tom Hardy in my mind? Yeah, I just had this desire for a long time. And I actually remember talking to my bestie who I just went to Big Sur with this weekend. And we were both like, oh my God, my worst fear is that I'm going to cheat on my husband because I'm just going to have to, like, I just felt the pull of other love stories so much. And I didn't really even know non-monogamy was an option at that point. So I'm like, I guess I'm going to be a cheater and have to get divorced or whatever. Like, that's the only option, right? And then it just started coming to me, like through movies that I was watching with my husband, like it just kept coming up and we were able to just like talk about it and talk about ideas of it. And like, it was just a topic. I played the long game, change management. but I just let it happen naturally. As I do with all my desires, if I have a desire, I tell it, bespoke it to the universe, and then I let it unfold naturally. And non-monogamy was the same. And that's the same with all my future sexual desires now. Like I'm not trying to rush anything. I'm just going at the right speed and allowing my desires, saying yes to my desires as they come to me, because they're coming to me. And then I either say yes or no. And I like just really knew I wanted to fall in love with someone else at that point. And I didn't really know what else was calling me, but it was just like, it was a calling. Like I needed to explore other love stories. And my husband wasn't like, he was on board. He was more just like, well, everything's fine. Like, but okay, sure. We can try a new thing too. And was like, went along with it and was down with it. And like was there to work through all the hard stuff around opening a long-term monogamous relationship. And has been there through the divorce and the changing of our relationship. And we're just doing divorce in such a different way also, because we got to try non-monogamy and polyamory. Like when the week after I moved out in November, he and his girlfriend came over to pick up the kid and the dog. And I like gave them both hugs and it was lovely to see them, because we're just like, we're transitioning our relationship to a partnership, full-time cohabitation, primary romantic partnership, monogamish, whatever. Fully entwined social life, fully entwined decisions about everything in life, fully entwined financial status. We're going to sleep in the same bed together. Like everything is together. We're like, let's get some space. And I just really needed space. Like I'd never lived alone. I had just started exploring myself. And I was like, I didn't like all that. And I didn't know what I didn't like about it, but I just didn't like all that. And I needed some space. And we're like, well, let's take some space and work through it and talk and do this in a way that doesn't traumatize our child. Like, let's be adults. Let's be calm. Let's just like, I love you still. We're just not going to fuck anymore. And we're going to live in separate places for a little while and see then what happens with our life. And we're just going to be cool about our finances and not do anything about the paper down at the courthouse. But like, you know, yeah. We're just doing whatever the fuck we want. And we're just like continuing to have the conversation. So throughout the 4 months that we were doing our, it was like kind of my, just, I need 4 months away to even just like start to unwind and unpack what I want. We kind of like decided to keep going at this separate living situation at it for the inevitable future. And, he like rented a place and has his own place, and I'm doing nomad stuff now. And we're like becoming better and better friends and people together. And like, I've never loved him more. And we're like badass parenting team together. And like, I call him when I'm crying and having a hard time about parenting. Like, he's my partner still, right? Yeah, and it's just like a different way. We're just living separately. And I'm exploring solo polyamory and pansexuality and soon to be group sex. And yes. And all of my stuff too. So yeah.
I love that you have created like this really, really beautiful flow from one like version of your relationship into another version of your relationship, into another version of your relationship, and just like created a life that works for you and for him and for your kid. And that's just, I love the intentionality of it. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Really good. I think a lot of people, I don't know. I think we have this idea that if you're getting divorced, it has to be because one of the people involved is a terrible person.
Right.
Right? Like, you must salvage it. You must die together unless people. No matter
what. And most of the time, keep them if they're evil, because someone else, the grass is, there's another evil person over there, right? Because, yes. I know my sister said to me when I was in my, like, I lived in her room for a minute to just like wrap my head around what I wanted to do. And she was like, you don't have to have reasons that your husband like is bad for you to want to get a divorce. You can just want to get a divorce. And I was like, what?
What do you mean?
Like, I was like ready to convince myself of all these things. And it's like, no, like we can just want to now do a different thing. And I was like, well, what voice is telling me that? I'm like, it's the voice of society, which says only lifelong commitment with two people, mostly one man and one woman, let's be honest, in all of media, but whatever, that's the only measure of success. Mm-hmm. And I just refuse to fucking believe that. There are miserable people that are married. Like, there are miserable people that are non-monogamous. There are miserable ethical sluts. There are miserable people all over. Just do whatever the fuck you want.
100%. Absolutely. I'm curious what you would tell people who want to transition their relationship. Like, what would be like the top, I don't know, tip? What would you tell them?
Yeah. Ask for space if you need it. So all I knew is that I wanted something different and I didn't know what it was, but I knew that I wanted to ask for space, and I knew that that might hurt someone's feelings or everyone's feelings, or be a bad decision, or cause someone to go, whatever. Like, every scenario is rolling through my head, but I knew that that's what I needed to. So whatever that space means, like going away for 2 nights on your bestie's couch for free to like just soul search and microdose mushrooms and do whatever you need to do. But get some space to evaluate what you want. And like, if you, like, explore your desires, get some space. First one. Second one, explore your desires in that space. What do you want? Like, unlock your mind from what everyone's been wanting for you your whole life, and allow to flow to you what you would do if you could just do anything. If you could just do anything. And this is what I talk about, this pro-noia all the time. And I lead pro-noia meditations for all my clients. And it's like this really intense energy that just like magnifies whatever we're working through. And so pronoia is this concept. It's the opposite of paranoia. So paranoia, we think everything is out to get us all the time. And pronoia, we think everything is out to like rock us on and solve everything for us and fix everything and lead everything. And we just get to like chill. So it's just this universe that I daydream in. And that's how I allow my desires to appear, is when I'm in pronoia. Because wouldn't people just like, wouldn't the easiest, best way be if people just fell into your life and wanted to pay you for the thing that you're really good at? And like, literally, that just happened to you.
It totally did. It totally did. You know, I've heard you talk about pronoia before, but I didn't know what it was. Mm. And I fucking love this idea so much.
It's so good. And I ask like newbies, my woo curious folk who are like new to this thinking of energy, to even just imagine it as like a universe, or like, you know, like a movie universe where like you're in a movie about pronoia, like then what would happen? And just like allow yourself to daydream. And I always like to take my clients on these like two level daydreams where we daydream, like, what would you do? And we get to this next level. And we feel the feelings of this next level. And then we ask that again, now, what would you do? And that's where we get to the real desires, because our first desires are the desires that we think are attainable, right?
Yeah, something practical.
Right. No matter how big of a dream you are. But then once you get to this next level, like your micro chakra is like, whoa, you just like expand into this connection to the universe and allowing your desires to appear for you in this like visualization, energetic feeling, knowing type place. And yeah, it's so good.
Oh, I love
so
that. I love
get some space. Yeah. Get some space, get into pronoia and allow to see what your desires are. And then just be brave, take it one day at a time, do what's right for you, whatever that means for a transition in your relationship, whether it means opening up, adding a new partner, closing out a relationship with a partner, turning a friendship into sexual, changing a co-parenting status, like whatever it is. Our relationships can be ever evolving.
Earlier you mentioned how intertwined your marriage was and how like everything. And mm-hmm. I think that that's like, that's kind of the social standard, right? If you get married, then you do everything together. You have all the same friends, you share hobbies, you watch movies together, you sleep together, you travel together. And anytime you show up somewhere without your partner, people go, well, where's your partner?
I know. It's been very annoying for 13 years. Because I've been independent this whole time. But like, yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah. So I think I really believe that that is an important first step, is disentangling some of that, disentangling and having some autonomy. I especially tell that to people who come to me who are monogamous and thinking like, we want to open our relationship.
Yeah.
And the first thing I tell them is start there, start disentangling your relationship so that you kind of have your own lives, and then reassess.
Yeah.
Because that might be the thing you needed, right? Like take some space and then see what you really need.
Yes. And even live separately from your partner, and no, you can still be boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever you want to, right?
Yeah.
Like you can live separately with your romantic partner. And like, who also says that just because we want to have, even if we want to have a monogamous life partner, why do we have to live with them and sleep in the same bed with them? Like, I need to sleep in my own bed several nights a week. And it just, that is kind of where I always started, was just disentangling. It's like, I just want to have my own friends and do my own thing and have a lot of space and
And have lots of stories that I can bring back and talk to you about so we never get bored with each other.
See ya. Wanna miss ya. Bye. Yeah. And even this, what my husband, ex-husband and I are doing right now is like a version of that too. Like just even more space, like disentangling romantically for now and amongst all the other things. And it's like, then we'll just reassess. I'm just going to constantly reassess for always. I don't need to let my fears of what may happen in the future hold me back from doing what feels right in the now moment.
Oh, I love that so much. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what do you think has been the biggest challenge of transitioning your relationship?
Yeah, it's my own trauma responses and feeling like I'm in trouble when my husband had feelings about our relationship and just going right into codependency, you know, just childhood trauma shit, like that I hadn't sorted through and just kept coming up. And it was a chance to sort through a lot of it.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, cause triggers are a blessing. Like when a trigger happens, like you're like, cool, where can I dig this up? Hello, sweet little root of this problem. Okay, cool. Oh, I never felt like my wants and needs mattered as a child. Okay, that makes sense. Why I then created this whole spiral forever for the rest of my life.
Let me play this pattern out again.
Yeah. I don't think I want this one anymore. Thank you. So much love and gratitude for keeping me safe for all of this time. And let it go, because it's like, I'm not going to start a new relationship and keep all of the same patterns either. Like, and that's one of the things I work through with all of my clients who are getting divorced too, is like, okay, let's take 100% responsibility for our part of all of this, whether we're playing into our own victim or like we're not speaking up our needs or whatever it is. Like, we all have 100% of responsibility with each relationship we transition through, and being able to look at our part and figure out where our shit is. Let's not carry all that garbage into our next relationships, whether they be romantic, business, platonic, whatever.
Yeah. What do you think are the, like, what tools have worked best for you? Like, for me, I love breath work and journaling. Like, those are my go-tos all the time. Breath work and journal, breath work and journal. And I'll do other things. You know, I talk to people and do other practices.
Yeah.
Those are kind of my go-to. What are your go-tos?
I want to actually know exactly your breath work routine, because I need like to do 30 days of something for a good reset. So,
Yes. Oh, okay. I'll tell you. So I am trained in therapeutic breath work. And so we do a faster than normal breath, kind of an open mouth, relaxed jaw. And I like to put on loud music.
Wow.
And I usually lay on my bed, because I have a big bed, so I don't have to worry about falling off of it. I'm a mover. I breathe like rapidly with full breaths. Like I'm getting all my air in, I'm getting all my air out. So you're not hyperventilating, right?
Yeah.
And I just allow my body to do whatever it wants to do. Impulse, if it wants to shake, if I want to kick, if I want to do downward dog, if I feel sound bubbling up in my throat, I might
cry.
And I just allow all these like impulses to come out.
Yes.
And it's so like, I'm not thinking about my life, and I get to the end and I'm like, oh, that was really therapeutic. I don't know what happened, but damn, I feel good. And then maybe I'll journal about it.
Yes. Well, mine's similar to yours. Mine is ecstatic dance and journaling. And ecstatic dance came to me right around our non-monogamy opening up of our marriage. Cause very quickly, once I realized I wanted to make out with boys, as many as I could and had the ability to do so, I immediately realized, oh my God, I'm terrified of men and have been completely avoiding them for my entire life. So I have a man wound. Okay. Thanks, magnifying glass. This is going to make dating men interesting. That's just who I was interested in dating at that time. Now it's everyone. Heyo. But at that time I was like, man wound, men, like, this is if I'm going to be exploring romance outside of my hetero marriage, like, it needs to be a man. That feels like the easiest, safest thing and most delicious at the time as well. The most, anyway, I was like, okay, man wound. And ecstatic dance just came to me. I was at a party in Topanga Canyon and someone's like, oh, have you tried ecstatic dance? And then the next week I like opened the newspaper and it was like ecstatic dance. And it just, I was like, okay, I will go to ecstatic dance. And I started going like a few weeks before I met one of my current partners, and like has been healing through ecstatic dance this whole time. And first in person and then over Zoom for pandemic. And oh my gosh, it has been so healing to just get into my body with other people on the screen and have a ecstatic dance DJ play a set, which is a whole spiritual experience that is like a journey from start to finish. That's about 90 minutes. And it just like takes you, and you, again, just like you with breath work, I just like let my body just like move however it's going to move. And I'm just like, it's just working out whatever we need to work out. It's just moving through. Like, it's just cleaning out this energy, moving it through. Any shitty thoughts that I started to believe yesterday, it just like scooches them out. Anything any old patterns and I'm ready to go, I just like feel it moving through me. And partnering that with journaling, like the intentions that I have while journaling, the things that I'm calling in, like I manifested a sexy ass divorce through my, in what I mean by manifesting is like building with intention and using energy to like expect the best possible outcome and allow it to come and explore my traumas and triggers that are telling me that it can't or won't happen. And oh yeah, allowing it to unfold in the easiest and most delicious ways was mostly just getting out of my own way.
Yeah.
And stop being such a jerk and just be really fucking humble.
We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Alicia here. You know, the voice you've been tuning into episode after episode. Today, I'm popping in with an invitation that's really close to my heart. Behind the scenes, I've been crafting something special just for you, my dedicated listeners. If there's a voice inside you that's seeking guidance on navigating the realms of relationships and non-monogamy, wanting to like boost your confidence and find that unwavering sense of security, or you're struggling to manage the tricky waters of jealousy, I'm here to offer my support. I've cleared my schedule to open up 50 slots this month for free one-on-one clarity chats directly with me. So this is your opportunity to dive deep into those pressing questions and come out on the other side with newfound clarity and direction. The availability on this is super limited and these spots are going to fill up really fast. So don't miss your chance to connect with me. Head over to my website, aliciapayne.com, right now. Go secure your spot because together we can uncover a path to a more joyful, fulfilling, and easy non-monogamous journey. Talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah. I think there is. There's this, with that kind of movement and getting out of your head and really getting into your body, it's like you shut off, not shut off completely, but you definitely like bypass that cortical control, that like yes. Overthinking, overprocessing, replaying every conversation in your head. You can't do that yes. when you're solidly in your body and exactly. feeling energy in your body and feeling the exactly. movement and the flow. And yeah, so good.
So good.
Okay. I have a question. I ask everybody this. What is the most inappropriate or awkward or intrusive thing someone has said to you or asked you about your relationship styles?
Well, I try not to really talk to anyone that asks intrusive questions anymore.
We learn.
You learn, right? Yeah. But yeah, like just asking about my new lover's dick size, I think probably from like horny monogamous moms, like they just want all the juice, which I'm like, I'll tell you the juice. Let's talk juice. Like, not necessarily dick size, but more about, you know, my experience and all the fishy and delicious things. But yeah, I mean, in general, people have been like, men have been asking me about my red pubic hair since I was like 11. So that's like the most inappropriate, intrusive thing.
Yeah, that definitely is.
So now when people are like, oh, aren't you jealous? Like, aren't you jealous? That's so basic. Come on, ask me something better than that, right?
Get creative here.
Yeah.
No, I'm basically perfect. I don't experience jealousy at all.
Exactly. Not a human. Not a human over here. Yeah. Or like, I couldn't just have sex with people, all strangers all the time. And I'm like, well, I don't either. And also anyone can, and there's nothing wrong with that. But like, that's not what it is. Just like yelling their misinformation at you in a judgmental way, right?
I could never.
Right. Then I don't. Bye. Yeah.
No. Oh, that's fun. I really wonder, like I've heard that before too. Like I couldn't sleep with strangers. And I think like, at what point are they no longer a stranger?
Right.
What is the definition there? Like,
if they're licking your pussy, are they a stranger?
Right. Like if they got to the point of like wanting to take off my clothes, they probably aren't a stranger anymore.
Right.
Not in all cases. That is definitely a thing for some people. Right. But like in most cases, by the time you're having sex with them, They aren't a stranger anymore.
Oh my gosh. It's just, it's people's repressed sexual shame is showing. I'm like, your patriarchy's showing. It's okay. It's okay. I can respond with kindness and then, you know, go on my way. Protect my own energy too. Have my own boundaries. So yeah, I like don't defend myself anymore either. So if someone asks me a question, I'm like, don't want to talk about it. Have a lovely day. I'm going to go get a smoothie. See you at the park next week.
That's fantastic. Okay. Talk to me about boundaries.
Oh my God. Well, I never had them for such a long time and my life was so miserable and people just walked all over me and I didn't do anything I liked and had no joy. Yeah. And I'm learning them. I am learning them. Every new venture means also a new venture in boundaries. Now I'm learning business boundaries, work-life business boundaries as an entrepreneur. I literally just decided with my fancy business coach this morning that I need to have Saturdays, no business. I am just a person on Saturdays. Now that my business is growing and I have a team and these are the ideals I want, I would like to have a day where I'm not thinking, how do I make money? Right. And I'm having that now. And that's my boundary with myself. Like, no, I'm not going on social media at all on Saturdays. I'm going to do tech Shabbat from Friday to Sunday. I'm like taking this time back for myself. And I'm now setting even like, it's uncomfortable setting boundaries all the time still, but I'm like, well, fuck it. I got to do it all the time or else my life will just suck. So boundary, 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 boundary. And I'm learning also to ask for what I want and need on top of the boundaries too, which is so hard for a third child person. Yeah, it just is so hard. But I'm like, what's the hardest thing I could do today? Okay, let's do that. What am I most scared of? Okay, let's try that because that's how I'm going to stretch and that's how I'm going to grow and that's how I'm going to find the most delicious things in life.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think it takes to start setting boundaries? Like what is the thing that shifts when you actually start putting yourself and your needs ahead of like what everybody else wants?
Oh my God. It's like a crack. I don't know. I feel like I just cracked out of it. Like something in me was like, I can't do this anymore. And I just opened my eyes to like, where am I letting everybody walk all over me? And once I could see it, I was like, all right, I don't have to do this all in one day. I don't have to be big and brave and bold in one day, but like, I got to start speaking my wants and needs. And people may react poorly to that because they haven't for most of my life. And I can be okay with that. I've survived. And I just was like going about my fears. Like, what else? What am I afraid of for standing up for what I want and need? And what lies on the other side of asking for what I want and need mostly and setting boundaries, like the life that I actually want. Ugh. And every boundary I want, I always want to like, not just not want things, like not feel uncomfortable. So with boundaries, it's not that I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I want to love setting boundaries. And I want to like, know that every no that I say, or every, I'm sorry, I can't do that, or please don't talk to me, I do, is a yes to me. And it's like literally pulling energy from a leaking source back into myself and letting me shine brighter. And then I shine brighter and guess who can see me? The better person, opportunity, thing, manifestation, dream house, whatever it is. Like when you say no, you literally scooch up to call in the next better thing. Mm-hmm. It's just like such an up-leveler. So once I was able to change seeing boundaries as like a sexy, delicious way to honor myself and my better futures ahead of me and my pro-noia self. Like,
Oh God. Yes. I love that so much. I think for me, it was this realization that I was so scared of losing love or being abandoned that I was constantly abandoning myself.
Yes.
Just yes. Like I was totally settling for like, this is good enough because what if I don't ever get the things that I want?
Yeah.
And then when I realized that, like, I could say no to just good enough and I always got the things that like, that I really wanted, not everything in the whole world. Like nobody's handed me $12 million, but like when,
not yet.
When I say yes to myself and I set boundaries, like things get really good.
Things just appear. The universe is like, oh bitch, it's on. Like the universe works with boundaries. The universe sees you setting boundaries and gives you better.
Yeah.
Gives you more. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to take anything below this line. Okay.
Yeah. Right. And then, you know, that old lover might circle back, and that's your opportunity to show the universe that you mean it. Like, it's, you set a boundary, but then the follow through is the actual most important part. So when that old lover comes out around and you just told the universe you're not going to do anybody who doesn't love and adore you and worship your pussy or whatever, then you got to say no to that actual person for the universe to bring you an actual person. So it's like about setting the boundary and then standing in the boundary. And that's the uncomfortable part for so many of us too, because this is where we think everyone's going to hate us. Everyone's judging us. We're going to be in trouble. People are going to come after us, like whatever it is, why we're not setting our boundaries or speaking our truth to begin with. But we can live with those uncomfortable feelings and we can feel them and then let them go and then be back in our fucking power and make our decisions and live our best life from our power.
Oh, yes. I use this analogy a lot. Starting to set boundaries for me felt like, even with like people that I love, it was like, I set a boundary and then I just stayed there like a rock in the middle of the river. Like, I'm just solid. I'm staying here. I'm not moving around. I'm not floating. And everyone else is the river and they had to find their way around me. Right. And different things could float towards me. And if they didn't fit my boundary, they'd just bounce off the rock and keep going. And then when I felt solid in that, then I would just get up and become another rock and set another boundary and let the river flow around me. And everyone else would find their way. They'd find their way to be comfortable with it or to get lost or to be like, totally. Yeah. I'm like embracing you, whatever it was.
Yeah. Wow. Can you give it like a specific, what was like a specific boundary that you set?
When I started dating, so my husband and I have never been monogamous together.
Cool.
We both were previously married monogamously, and both of us went, well, not doing that again. At least I did. I was solid.
Yeah.
Not doing that.
Yeah.
Again. And so when we got together, we started out with like some swinging and had some like friends with benefits, but we did pretty much everything together.
Yeah.
And okay. So when I started dating on my own, that was more difficult for him because in the early part of that, I was deconditioning so much like internalized monogamy, and I could not go and date people on my own while also dealing with that. It was like too many things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get really comfortable. And so when I got comfortable and started dating, then he got really uncomfortable because he hadn't dealt with that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I had.
Right.
I had dealt with him dating, but he had not had to deal with me dating. And so I just took these baby steps and was like, this is what I'm doing. This is what it looks like. I'm staying right here. I'm not bouncing around or going really fast. This is what I'm doing. And just giving him the time and space to find his way around it and to work, like to integrate and work through the feelings he was having and like have conversations. But I was like, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change my mind and backpedal because you're feeling uncomfortable. And I'm totally conditioned to backpedal all the time to make the people I love feel comfortable.
Yep. Like, before I even step all the way up, I like to step and then backpedal right back, right on back, get on back, right in the comfortable back there. No one yells at you.
Yep. Oh God, that fear of confrontation. It's so hard.
I know. It's real. It's like everything bad is about to happen.
And now you're being kicked out into the desert and a lion is going to chase you and you're dead.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, I did every step of the way, every time someone around me gets uncomfortable with the decisions I make, I'm steady in that.
Yeah.
Rather than bouncing around because in response to other people, just steady in my desires.
Yes. I am just learning that and just living in that and just standing in that. And it is so beautiful.
It feels immensely better. Like,
yes.
And there's this thing, actually, it kind of reminds me, a lot of people say to me, you know, I have three partners and people say to me, oh my God, like I have such a hard time. It's so much emotional labor and so much work having one partner. How do you do it with three? And my response is that it's actually totally different and not easier, but like when you stop putting all of your energy into making sure that one person is always happy and always comfortable and everything is good for them, regardless of what's going on for you, when you stop doing that and let them like manage their own feelings and let them speak their own desires and their own boundaries, then it takes so much less energy and like emotional work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like two adults just like stating their needs together for the betterment of everyone involved.
Yeah. What? That's just crazy talk.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm like, okay, so I'm starting a new romance. I'm transitioning a friendship into a romantic relationship soon in June. We have it scheduled.
That's very soon.
Yes. And it's like, I'm like, here's where I am. I have these partners. I have do this. I am available for this. This is what I am interested in. This is what I want long-term perhaps. Like, I just like say it. And then they tell me what all their things. And we're like, cool. Like before we even did the spiel, I was like, we're friends and I love being friends with you. And also I have romantic and sexual desires with you. And just like, said it, and then they were able to respond like, great, let's explore it. Here's what this means for me. And I'm like, here's what this means for me. And they were like, when are you free? June. Great. And now we're gonna have this, because that's like, we're on the same page about so many things already. We can just explore the freedom of just being in the moment and falling in love together, like without all that other garbage in the way. Does he like me? Or like, right? Like, we just talk about that shit.
Should I text them back?
You want to? Do you want to? Then, yeah.
Okay, tell me this. Tell me about your business.
Oh, my business. Well, I'm a badass CEO. I run a digital company, not to brag, that is growing deliciously and quickly after 7.5 years of 0K launches. I now make money. Heyo. So I'm a high level healer. I am a director. I'm a creative. I am too many things to have titles for. A multi-hyphenate, as they call it in the biz. But as of right now, I'm helping people heal from their divorces or the end of their long-term relationship. So being an entrepreneur and being on the entrepreneur journey and being on the non-monogamy journey, I have like really honed in on my healing, on my development, on my mindset, on my like how to learn and grow as quickly and as well as possible. And so when I saw my divorce in my forefront, I'm like, I gotta be in pleasure. I gotta heal. I gotta do mindset. I gotta watch my triggers. Like I knew exactly what to do to move through that. And divorce, whether divorce or an ending of a long-term relationship, whether it's everyone's in good terms or everyone's in bad terms or whatever the status is, it's a traumatic event. Like you, what you thought was your whole future is now completely different. So like, and you're now have just like, it's a traumatic event and we all need to heal from that. So I'm on the mission for the rest of this year just to help bring divorce into the limelight and stop having so much shame about divorce. There's no reason anyone should feel shame about ending a relationship. The patriarchy and the Roman Catholic Church are sure going to try to tell you you should feel shame, but don't listen. You don't need to. You can get divorced for whatever reason you want. And once you get divorced and you need to heal, you can come to Divorce Camp, which is my luxury divorce healing intensive in Palm Springs in June over the solstice and the full moon. It's going to be legit. Only 4 spots. So snag one ASAP for anyone listening who is in the $10,000 heal myself type of week. And I encourage you to think about how much you spent on your wedding and then how much you actually deserve to spend on yourself to heal from your divorce. But if you're more like a $250 bitch, I'm having Divorce Club is relaunching for the second season this summer. And it's a Zoom digital healing journey series that I'm going to be taking everyone on over the course of it. So follow me over on Instagram, on the gram. That's where all my good shit is released, over at Mags Baker, they, she. And come heal your shit. And if you're not getting divorced and you want to get in on all my shit, follow me over there too, because I do other cool shit.
You really do. I love following everything that you do. It's amazing. Oh, you're brilliant. And you have such beautiful, beautiful energy. And I love talking to you so much. Thank
you. I love talking to you so much. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I could come on your podcast. And I am just, I'm so excited to listen. I'm like, subscribe. When can I subscribe?
Soon.
Amazing. Your graphics. And I'm your client. Remember, I took your group course, Getting It On in a Group. Ayo.
God, that was so much fun. I love that class so much. And I'm going to be adding more to it in a couple of months.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. I'm sure all of your listeners are going to be just like ravaged for the next time you do the live version, because A, it was great information. Like, people could bring their questions, but B, it was like all these people who also want to have group sex. So it was like a community hangout for people who are like interested in having group sex.
Like, so how do we actually do this? Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And your spiel. I mean, to this day, I'm like, when I consider new romantic partners, I give them a spiel that also involves sexual status, but also involves all of my other things, including trauma and how I like to be touched and my words of affirmation and everything. So the spiel is like, so good.
Oh, thank you. I love that so much. I love hearing that people are using it. It's like, I don't know. It was this momentary kind of flash of inspiration while I was writing the course. And I was like, you need to have practiced what you're going to say to people that you're going to have sex with, because it shouldn't be awkward. You shouldn't feel shame and judgment and weird things about telling someone that you like anal or, you know, like whatever the is, right? Like, this is what gives me pleasure. Are you down to do this thing? If you're not, tell me so that I'm not asking you to.
Right. Exactly. Oh my gosh. Well, let's cut through all the bullshit. I love it so much. Let's cut through all the bullshit and have awesome sex, right?
Yes. That should be my tagline.
Exactly. Take
cut it. Cut through all the bullshit and have awesome sex.
Yep.
Thank you. I'm going to click this button here. Thank you so much for listening today. It would mean the world to me personally and would help us keep this little podcast going if you would subscribe, leave a review, or share this episode with your friends. For more personalized support with your own relationships, we can work together on a one-to-one basis. Just visit my website at aliciapayne.com and schedule a free call to chat about life, the universe, and your relationships. Bye. Thank you so much for listening today. It would mean the world to me personally and would help us keep this little podcast going if you would subscribe, leave a review, or share this episode with your friends. For more personalized support with your own relationships, we can work together on a one-to-one basis. Just visit my website at aliciapayne.com and schedule a free call to chat about life, the universe, and your relationships. Bye.